You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Thursday, which we prefer to call Friday Eve. I lost track of my days.
Well, that's easy to do this this week.
We've only been here like one day.
Yeah, because it's kind of a Tuesday, but yet it's still a Thursday.
Figure that one out.
Yeah.
And that's Butters on the board. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. It's a beautiful day. I'm ready for massive blizzards. I went out in I don't know, the bread and milk.
Has there been a run on bread and milk already?
I don't know. I think so, but I'm
scared.
Are we
going to get a blizzard? Is it going to happen?
The last report I saw from James Spann, who knows all weather in Alabama.
He is the know-all.
Yeah. I think he actually creates the weather, but he says we'll probably have potential for some accumulation in altitudes above 1,000 feet on the grass, so...
Well, as long as James Spann does not have his suspenders showing and his sleeves rolled up, we're all safe.
So I explained that to my Canadian family over the holidays, and they looked at me with disbelief. And it's like, you just have to experience
it. You just have to understand. And oh, by the way, if you live on a corner in the backside of Egypt, Alabama, he's going to know exactly where you are because he is virtually omniscient within his listening area.
Turn left, and you should see it right there.
There's an oak tree, and then you'll... All right, hey, we got a great show laid on for you, aside from our love for James Spann. We got a great show laid on 3:30 today. It's Thursday, so we're doing a round of Butters and Lee. That's going to be at 3:30, so stand by for that one. Going to be good. We'll play the whoop-whoops and see what Butters and Lee have to say about topics in general. And then I got a triple dipper just full of stuff, so hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, didn't get to it yesterday, so we're getting to it today. First out, wars and rumors of wars. Y'all, there's a world out there that is decidedly dangerous, and there are several places that are flashpoints, and there are some that have already spilled over. And so we're going to talk about them in detail because we got to stay ahead of the game. We got to know where we are. Keep your head on a swivel, your powder dry. We're going to talk about wars and rumors of wars. There's that. Number one, the triple dipper. Number two, man, I got so much. I mean, it could wind up dominating a huge section of the show. Jackassery. We're going to talk about some serious jackassery. Like policies put in place by government officials you look at and go, how did you ever get elected? Because that is jackassery. So we'll talk about that. Number two, triple dipper, jackassery. And then number three, all right, so have you seen them blocking the roads? Have you seen them throwing paint on, you know, statues and gluing their hands to, you know, classic paintings in museums? Have you seen the activism out there right now? It's B grade. It's a bunch of Bush League. I'm going to call it B grade activism is what we're talking about on number three of the triple dipper. B grade activism. What separates good activists from bad activists? Well, the B grade activism gives us all of the don't do it this way type scenarios. That's number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me move over here to my opening monologue, and I'll just remind you guys, Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of our listening area all over the place. I mean, like, y'all, they're covering places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six locations around the Birmingham area, more coming. Southern Immediate Care, open 7 days a week. They will see all ages. I'm talking about pediatric to geriatric. Southern Immediate Care. Sponsor of the Daily Right Side Way monologue. So here's the thing. I have no problem with people gathering to share their thoughts and opinions. I don't. I understand the freedoms of assembly, of association, the actual freedom of speech. And I can't say it's only good here in the U.S. I have to believe that if it's a good thing here, it's also just a plain old good thing, whether here or abroad. The world needs to know that it can assemble peacefully and share thoughts and opinions without any persecution or backlash of any kind. Having said that, it doesn't mean I have to trust every assembly of opinionated pundits. Not by a stretch. In fact, there are some that gather and share their much-lauded opinions that only make me trust them all the less when they do. They bring themselves out in the open. They speak their nonsense. They talk of what they will do if the rest of us don't get on board. And most of the world looks at them sideways and ignores them. But every once in a while, there's a gathering that just seems like it's on a next level. As if something more is happening than just a cavalcade of opinions. As if maybe evil just massed itself in one place and celebrated their plans for world domination. Do I sound a bit extreme? Maybe. I try not to let myself delve too deeply into conspiratorial darkness, but there are a few groups that I believe are actually intent on wreaking havoc. Two in particular have their grand events, grand events within months of each other, and they are, in my opinion, far more dangerous than any cosplay or geek conference or gathering of mere intellectuals. The two that give me the most pause are the annual gatherings of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, and the United Nations Climate Change Conference, which is known simply as the COP. It is at these two meetings that we hear some of the most ridiculous theories and calls to action that sound like something from a Hunger Games movie, and yet they're met by applause by the world's elite who also look like Hunger Games characters. We get calls to eliminate fossil fuels, to eat bugs, to eradicate national borders, to eliminate cultural norms, to erase biological truths, to declare crises where there are none, and declare peace where there is none. The World Economic Forum and the COP. These two groups are the incubators of liberal progressive power grabs. Not by a small bit, mind you. These are fully sanctioned, attended by world leaders, and every time they meet, there are agenda items that begin to make it into the policies and the regulations and the laws of the nations of the world. Well, this year, the COP met in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. It was a star-studded affair, with grand speeches and a heady atmosphere that comes from being in a room where everyone is important and every speech is like a sermon filled with words of life-changing evangelism. This year, at what was known as the COP28 gathering, the United Nations website says that, quote, the world came together to agree on ways to address the climate crisis, such as limiting global temperatures rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius, helping vulnerable communities adapt to the effects of climate change, and achieving net zero emissions by 2050. Wow. Sounds impressive. Sounds noteworthy and of great potential for the greater good, right? Until you begin to look at the ways they plan to engage the world in their quest for all that is good and right and fossil fuel free. First off, you should know that it was really big doings when, quote, after 30 years of waiting, more than 190 nations this year agreed to a framework to transition away from fossil fuels. Now, I'm sorry, I thought that was a gathering of climate activists and intellectual elites, but now there's actual nations signing on to the COP28 agenda? But that wasn't good enough. Someone named Omar El-Mawi from a group called, it's calling itself the Africa Movement Building Space, adamantly stated, quote, proposing a transition away from fossil fuels may sound like a step in the right direction, a glimmer of hope amidst chaos. However, let us not underestimate the cunning tactics of fossil fuel giants and petrostates. They will cleverly disguise their products as transitional fuels, especially in the most vulnerable corners of the world. Yet even the once unyielding fossil fuel giants and petrostates are now witnessing the inevitable, a world free of their toxic grip. Guess which one of us is called a petrostate? That would be the United States. So yeah, also at COP28, though, in the spirit of Greta Thunberg, a 12-year-old Indian climate activist stormed the stage and interrupted a speech with her sign that read, End fossil fuels, save our planet and our future. So what's a 12-year-old girl from India doing traveling to Dubai to interrupt a conference on any subject? Well, COP28 also culminated with the way forward to enact their global strategies. Global efforts call for global dollars, right? Well, apparently the U.S., the U.K., and Germany, since we are among the most evil of climate-abusing nations and need to atone for our sins, they committed $700 million to a global climate reparations fund. That's $700 million a huge chunk of which came from your taxpayers. Followed by a U.S. commitment, by the way, to pledge another $3 billion, that's billion with a B, to a green climate fund for reducing the emissions and adapting to climate change in developing countries. Which, by the way, then drew a rebuke also because it just wasn't enough. And apparently we pledged the same amount during the Obama years, but we only paid $1 billion. Just, you know, only $1 billion. But don't worry, because COP28 did launch the first ever task force on the international effort to tax polluting industries on global taxation. Yeah. It was said that, quote, this is huge because it has the potential to unlock billions. So they want to bring us down. They want to destroy our economies. They don't care what effort it takes as long as they can, I don't know, globally tax us because we're a petrostate. And yes, Joe Biden's climate czar, John Kerry, was there representing the United States in an official capacity, by the way. Lest anyone think that we're not fully on board with the whole climate change is an existential crisis mantra. But listen, the one that got me, the one that really got me, the official attendee that sort of flew under the radar, that I have to wonder, why were they even there, was the U.S. Department of Defense. I mean, what is the DOD doing at COP28 in Dubai? Aren't there wars that we need to fight or something? Aren't there actual bad guys that need killing or threats that need stopping or tyrants that need toppling or something? No, because climate change is the actual existential threat that we face, and therefore it's a matter of national security. And for that reason, it is imperative that our uniformed warfighters be in attendance at the annual gathering of evil henchmen known as the COP. The DOD was quite proud of its attendance. The DOD actually issued a press release to describe the climate change resilience of the various branches of the military, the commitment to global climate change by the armed forces of the United States, and the fact that multiple secretary and deputy secretary level DOD officials attended COP28 to, here it is, quote, underscore the Defense Department's role as a global leader in managing the impacts of climate change on resilience, peace, and stability, and highlighting the DOD's key role in the U.S. whole-of-government approach to addressing the climate crisis. Y'all, that is not a worthy use of our military. That is not where the DOD should be spending its time. That is not where highly paid secretary-level positions within the Pentagon should be flying and junketing to spend time talking about what we need to do with our uniformed services. These are not serious people. Not in the rational sense. But even irrational people cannot be ignored. The fact that our military is bragging about its participation in an international conference that talks smack about global taxation, and in which the United States, that our military, by the way, is designed to serve and protect, the United States is excoriated as an evil petrostate, is a dangerous thing, and we should not stand for it. Nor should we ignore it. So yeah, the COP is a joke, but the COP is also serious, and it's past time the U.S. had a COP out and quit encouraging global elites to attempt to change our lives and get our DOD back to what its real mission should be. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there's a rant for you. I mean, the COP28 is an elite joke. The whole climate hoax has got to be dealt with. But the very idea that senior-level secretaries and undersecretaries from the Department of Defense are flying over there to make their appearances and their speeches and to show the climate change existential threats being dealt with by the U.S. military is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard come out of the Pentagon. My God, 2024 can't get here fast enough. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.